something where the dark can reverse.
Jeremy here on Republic Broadcasting Network. And more than ever, go to republicbroadcasting.org and smash the donate button. Send the much-needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Call in the credit or debit to 1-800-724-2719. And if you make a check or money order, make it payable to RBN. And this is the Patrick and Jeremy Show. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.
All right, we have a full plate. What do they call him? Satan Yahoo visits the White House for Nobel Peace Prize. That's the headline. By the way, I get a lot of headlines off of the InfoStormer. I don't rip off Lee Rogers' work as far as like analyzing them. I just look at the headlines, basically. It's an easy way to get a compilation of what, you know, the latest things are.
Yeah, and, well, that's a good site, yeah, that I've just become aware of in the past month or so.
And it's good to compile headlines and, you know, I cross-reference them with other sites. Kind of gives me a place to start. But I didn't know he was visiting for a Nobel Peace Prize. So this was last night.
Well,
and White House announced that it nominated. Oh, it nominated Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. So, yeah, the Israelis. I believe the nominations for Nobel Peace Prize have to come from national parliaments or legislatures. So I guess the Israeli the Knesset has nominated Trump. Did Pakistan? And I don't know if it has to be something that the full parliament votes on or what, but somebody in Pakistan had earlier this year been nominating or suggesting the nomination of Trump. Who has won in the past? Kissinger, Menachem Begin, Yitzhak Rabin, and Shimon Peres. You've had Kissinger plus three Israeli prime ministers have already won. Why not just nominate a Bibi Netanyahu? Why not?
It's really rich. And by rich, I mean when you walk up on a steaming pile of cow dung, rich. This guy, you know, listened to Israel and did a little pissing contest with Iran. I think that's what it was. Both sides, the U.S. and Iran, were just trying to see what each other had. And Iran proved to be a formidable foe. I don't think the U.S. has the stomach to go on, but Netanyahu's wanting to push it. That's the feel that I'm getting from what I'm reading and from other things that I've heard. What about you?
Well, it seems as if Trump wanted to. I don't know, because the thing is, who do you trust? So there's this guy Michael Wolff, who I'm pretty sure is some Jew, and he does biographies of presidents and whatnot, and is often able to get access, but I don't know if he's reliable. And I doubt he's reliable, but he was saying that in the days leading up to this, Trump was, when he was talking to his advisors, he really wasn't listening to them so much. He was just saying, this is going to be really great, isn't it? The Israelis really know what they're doing, don't they? That type of stuff. This is what Michael Wolff was saying. But you know, Michael Wolff might just want to set up Trump as if Trump knew exactly what was going to go on. And maybe Trump did know exactly what was going to happen, or maybe he didn't. Maybe he was being played. I don't know. But it does seem kind of like maybe the most likely thing is he wanted to just prove he was a tough guy, but not get into a giant war. And so he would do this, knock out the most important nuclear facilities in Iran, claim victory, and move on. But the Israelis aren't interested in pretending to claim victory, especially if the nuclear sites really haven't been shut down or the program hasn't been shut down. And of course, what the Jews want, what Netanyahu really wants, is to overthrow and potentially dismember Iran the way Saddam Hussein was overthrown and Iraq has been effectively dismembered. The northern part is Kurdistan. It's not really ruled by Baghdad, and it's got massive Jewish/Israeli influence in it. So that's
it's really the whole thing is really given exposure to the rifts and the cracks in the MAGA movement. Maybe not so much in the Trump base, but like talking heads like Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens have been outspoken. And, you know, you can say what you want about them, especially Tucker, but at least they have like more of a mainstream audience. Tucker does anyway, and Candace is coming on up there. So, you know, questioning this and them out there questioning, you know, Trump's actions and his alliance with Israel, that's a good thing. It's getting into the ears of not only boomers, but anybody that has supported Trump. Caused a big split.
Well, something else is that a lot of people don't realize it. Half the people in the United States are never Trumpers. Half the people are, you know, Democrat voters or whatever. And making this relationship between Trump and Israel so explicit is really going to be, it's going to be bad for Israel in particular, I think, because it's going to make it that much easier for the anti-Israel Democrats to gain the upper hand, because the Democratic establishment is still people like Chuckie Schumer and, you know, they're pro-Israel. But by this really close relationship, or at least the signaling of some close partnership between Trump and Netanyahu at a time when Netanyahu is doing all this stuff, I think this is going to be bad for Israel and ultimately for Jewish power in the United States, because it's just exposing the nefarious role that Jews play in a lot of things. And if you're somebody, if you're a progressive, exposing the nefarious role Jews have in immigration isn't going to mean anything to you, but exposing the Jewish role in America's underwriting of the genocide of Palestinians, that is going to mean something. And then once you really start understanding more about the role of Jewish power, I think it becomes easier to then open your eyes to other things like immigration. Because like for me, that was my path. Understanding the Jewish role in subverting our foreign policy to the role of Israel. I got into that first, started understanding more about the way Jews operate in the United States, their power in the United States. And then from there, started understanding more about, oh, it's not just that they're subverting America's foreign policy. They've been dominating America's domestic policy such that, you know, whites will become a minority. There's anti-white indoctrination and mass immigration, all this stuff. It helped me understand. Meanwhile, you know, people who are on the so-called right, like David Duke, who understood they understood the Jewish role in things like immigration or race relations, and that led them to then question things like the Vietnam War, because Dr. Duke had been a supporter of the Vietnam War because the North Vietnamese were communists. and then eventually came to realize that you know, these wars, that, you know, that you got, and you know, support for the military in general. The military in general has just been an Israeli mercenary force for our entire lifetime. So anyway, I'm just throwing that stuff out there. I'll just kick it back to you.
It's in the last 3 years, you know, we've seen the collapse of the Democrat base and all of the anti-war, you know, anti-genocide supporters had, you know, absolutely no one to represent them. So they had no, you know, they were completely disenfranchised, which I think is why Trump won the election. But now in the last, you know, in the first half of this year since Trump's taken office, he may have gained a lot of neocon supporters, but he's peeled away the regular Democrats, the traditional Democrats that he gained in 2016. He's peeled away the libertarians and just the people who are completely anti-war, truly America first. He's peeled that support away. And that, to me, is a recipe for the first time in a long time, maybe for a third-party movement. People like Thomas Massie could appeal to both sides. Those that were disenfranchised on the left, as well as those in MAGA that are anti-war. That's something that I see. And AIPAC has become a talking point in mainstream work, as it wasn't before. It wasn't 3 years ago, or even as much 6 months ago. I've heard it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the role that AIPAC plays in choosing our politicians, that in conjunction with the Epstein files all not being released, people are putting the puzzle together.
Yeah,
I think
they are. The Epstein thing, yeah, so there's that. I, by the way, I had recorded a Boomer Vision for the Tuesday afternoon show, but then after I had finished recording that, Paul Stevenson called me up, and so I wound up doing a show with him today instead. So I've got the Boomer Vision recorded, and it'll be broadcast on Thursday. It's already sent into the network. But I did talk about extensively about the Epstein stuff, and I know I have to keep it. I know I have to keep things classy when I'm on doing Patrick and Jeremy, because it's a very classy show. So I won't go into all the references to Pam Bondi as a MILF and like that.
Yeah, we have set the bar high for this show.
Set the bar high, but Boomer Vision, it doesn't have to be classy. So there's a lot of non-classy stuff on it. Stay tuned for the Thursday afternoon show. A lot of stuff. But
under this Nobel Peace Prize headline. Oh, and go ahead and finish your thought.
Oh, well, okay. So yeah. So MILF Bond, I mean, Pam Bondi is, there are no Epstein files. There's no Epstein client list, this and that. And whether strictly speaking, there's a list or not, I mean, a list, narrowly speaking, can be like a sheet of paper with names on it. Does it have to be a list? And is that the thing? The real question here, and this isn't who did what with what young girls. The thing is, this was I call it kosher certification, but you could call it influence peddling. The real question is, why do American politicians need to be controlled by Israel? Why do they, in order to succeed in, or Israel or Jews, right? Why, in order to succeed in American politics, do you have to effectively pledge some sort of allegiance to Jews? You know, whether it's through Epstein, whether it's through AIPAC, this is it. Why do we have to be controlled by Jews? And the whole Epstein thing, if it was properly investigated and properly discussed and properly revealed, that's what it would get people asking. Why is it we have to be controlled by Jews? Why does the Israeli Mossad, why do they have to have compromising materials on our government leaders? Why, and business leaders even? Why do they need that?
That's the question. And people get wrapped around the axle of, did Epstein kill himself? Did he get murdered? Did he get ushered away? The real point is what you just said. Why this kosher certification? With American politicians, British people of notoriety, and different wealthy people that shouldn't need to go through Epstein to get these sort of things. You got, when you reach billionaire status, even when you get into the hundreds of millions, I mean, you pretty much get these prostitutes if you wanted them. So that begs the question, why go through this person, Epstein, who was connected with Israel and Mossad through Ghislaine Maxwell? Where is Ghislaine Maxwell? That's not an important question, but still, that's what people are asking. And it really looks bad when you see the actions of the administration. So when you come to the question of, was Donald Trump involved with Epstein? Did he get kosher certified? It looks pretty bad when he does this exchange with Iran on behalf of Israel, when really, he seemed frustrated. He seemed like he was reluctant. He, at a press conference recently, you remember he said, Israel, Iran, they've been fighting for so long, they don't know what the F they're doing.
Yeah.
I heard it was the first time a president dropped the F bomb in a press conference, but.
Okay. Technically it is. Joe Biden dropped an F bomb at a press conference, but he didn't realize the mic was hot and he was vice president at the time talking to Obama when Obama was like rolling out the Obamacare, like it had just been passed. And Joe Biden said, this is a big effing deal. And it was caught on a hot mic.
Oh man, I wonder. Too bad we can't hear all the N drops caught on a hot mic. The N bombs. That would be funny. But no, it really does make him look bad. And the fact that, Pamela Bondi Anderson is not releasing all of these things now. Now she's going back to, at first it was head on. We're just going to expose this. It's going to be released. It's going to be so big. And now it's a nothing burger. Now it's just treated as whatever.
And Trump is admonishing people for asking about it.
Yeah, why aren't you paying attention to those floods that happened recently?
Look over there. Why aren't you paying attention to that? Oh, look, there's a squirrel.
What? Where were those floods at? Because I totally missed that, and I heard it on Fetzer today.
Texas.
Yeah, Texas floods from missing campers. Death toll surpasses 100.
Yeah.
This was 49 minutes ago, according to CNN.
Flash floods.
And so, I don't want to get into the whole, did the government control the weather to do that, to make it a distraction? But it was there. It happened. And it's being made a distraction. Yeah. That's what I got from Trump's words on it. Don't pay attention to this Epstein stuff. We got floods over here. And I'm not trying to laugh at the victims or the flooding or any of that.
And I'm alone. Skin, yeah, chill me to the bone.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight 4 of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Trump's words on it. Don't pay attention to this Epstein stuff. We got floods. We got floods over here. And I'm not trying to laugh at the victims or the flooding or any of that. You know, the whole situation is just crazy. And I don't know. We're 6 months into the Trump administration, and it seems like a train that's going off the tracks so far.
It's going off the tracks. But it's going off the tracks in a spectacular way, meaning as literally as a spectacle. And what a spectacle is, something that everybody's watching. And when people watch things, you know, you can observe a lot just by watching. This is something that Yogi Berra pointed out. And I think people are observing a lot. Yeah. Maybe it's not such a bad thing. Now, for Trump, did he bomb Iran because of Miriam Adelson's money or Jeffrey Epstein's stuff, or just because in his dumb, retarded, boomer way, he thought that this was the way of, just getting one over on the Jews? Okay, I'll pretend to do something and then we'll move on. That's his idea of 7D checkers. I don't know. At the end of the day, it's all retarded. Even if he was like saying, okay, this is the way I'm not going to go to war with Iran. The way I'm going to avoid war with Iran is by bombing Iran for the Jews. It's retarded. But on the other hand, nobody calls out their stuff. And like Scott Ritter today, by the way, so Scott Ritter, I met him once. He seemed like an okay guy, but I've been seeing him a lot on the judges show and on other shows. And Ron Unz recently described him as excitable and bombastic. And I thought, actually, he hit the nail on the head. He is excitable because he'll get, and especially if you listen to him at 1.5 speed. But he just sometimes he just goes on these rants, Marine Corps tough guy rants. He does that, and he is bombastic. I mean, he's always going over the top with how tough things are, whatever. He's going over the top, and so today he was going on this excited, bombastic rant about Ukraine, and that nobody in Ukraine is willing to ask their grandfathers what they did in the war because they all killed a bunch of Jews. They worked for the Nazis and they killed Jews. That's what they did, and we've got to shut this Iran down. Not Iran, Ukraine. Did I say Iran? I mean Ukraine. We got to shut Ukraine down because it's a bunch of Jew killing Nazis who run it. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I can see why you don't want to focus on the neo-Nazis Azov Battalion.
They exist.
Well, it's funny, and they are sort of like they're like the ISIS of Ukraine.
Yeah.
Reverse, though, instead of turning on their leader on Zelensky, they turn on the Russian people in the Donbass.
Yeah,
I mean they're mercenaries, yeah. But this whole thing of the Donald Trump nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, there's a tweet on X that's featured in this headline. Howard Beckett, I don't know who that is, but Howard Beckett says, "We are truly living in a time of imperial authoritarianism. A wanted war criminal, Netanyahu, who has murdered 20,000 children in Gaza, presents a letter to the man who gave him the weapons for genocide, Trump."
And 20,000 is a massive undercount, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of number would be more realistic. Probably get into the hundreds of thousands because it's taken them so long to recover bodies out of the rubble. Plus, the ongoing starvation.
Yeah.
And these are the people who talk about Nobel Peace Prizes. It's really sickening. And this whole thing, this whole show with Trump, Iran, Israel, I mean, it smacks of WWE. It just really does. Not saying that it's all fake and fabricated per se, but, these people get out and they talk. It's like Hulk Hogan and Macho Man and the Ultimate Warrior talking to Gene, the guy with the suit and the bald head and mustache. And they're saying what they're going to do and what they're not going to do, and it's all a big show. That's what it feels like. You push back if you want to.
Oh, I think they're... I don't think these people know what they're doing. If there was a giant plan, they'd probably know more what they're doing. I think they're just flying by the seat of their pants. They have no idea what they're doing. But
what I'm getting at is they're putting on a show. Even if it's not all planned out, they're putting on a show for the audience.
Well, yeah. There's no one taking your place since you've been gone.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Flying by the seat of their pants, they have no idea what they're doing. But
what I'm getting at is they're putting on a show, even if it's not all planned out. They're putting on a show,
yeah,
for the audience.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're talking about Trump, I mean, he is a showman. If he's anything, he's a showman. And you know, when he says things, there's not much substance, but there is showmanship.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, that is exactly it.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, if he would just rip off his shirt like Hogan, and,
or
yell
Putin,
to the mic,
or Putin.
Yeah, no, Trump's physique is not as probably didn't want to rip off his shirt, you know, but I could see Putin doing that. I think Putin is for the most part legitimate, and you know, definitely he's demonstrated himself to be an actual statesman when compared to these other clowns, and. Since the beginning of the Ukraine conflict, you know, what Putin said he's going to do, he's done. He said, if you do this, I'm going to invade. And he did. So there's one thing.
By the way, speaking of ripping off shirts, a few years ago at one of the G8 summits or G7 summits, and the EU representatives attendees. So on G7 pictures, you'll usually see 9 people posing, and one will be the president of the EU Commission or whatever, and the other is there'll be 2 EU officials. One is Ursula van der Leyen. Is that her name? I call her Dandelion, Ursula Dandelion. And do you know who I'm talking about?
I've heard the name. I would have to look her up to see her picture. I'm going to look her up while you're talking.
Yeah, she's been in German politics for a long time. She's probably pushing 70 now. I guess she's well into her 60s. And when she was young, she was probably cute enough. But at any rate, somebody at one of these meetings mentioned Putin taking his shirt off. And she said, well, shall we take our shirts off? That's a bizarre thing for an old lady to say.
Yeah. I just looked her up, Ursula von der Leyen.
Yeah.
Yeah. President of the European Commission. No, don't take your shirt off, lady.
Now, if it was Annalena Trampolina, maybe, maybe. Especially if she was going to be jumping on a trampoline. But
66 years old, van der Leyen.
Yeah, and not the best preserved. I mean, at least she's not fat.
I mean, Stevie Nicks is in her 70s, and she looks way better.
Okay,
even after doing enough cocaine in her lifetime to, like, kill a herd of elephants, she still looks pretty decent.
Yeah.
And sings well, too.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of an aside, and we're on the borderline of classy there, but...
I know, I can't help it.
Just to steer it back, getting back to the Epstein stuff, if you want to touch on that a little bit, FBI reportedly won't release any new Epstein files. So I'll give credit here to Rogers at the InfoStormer. All right. He writes, Axios put out a report last night citing a memo that the Department of Justice and the FBI have concluded that Jeffrey Epstein did not blackmail anybody and had no client list. They apparently won't be releasing any new information on the case and is considering the matter closed. And he gets this from Axios, Trump's Justice Department. This is a tweet from Axios. And the FBI have concluded they have no evidence that Jeffrey Epstein blackmailed powerful figures and kept a client list.
All right. And the thing is, this could be technically true. It could be technically true. You know, I said something about the client list. Well, what's a list? Did he actually have like a sheet of paper with a name on each line? You know, it didn't have to be a client list. It could have been a database. It could have just been entries in or whatever. Or maybe it was all in his head. Maybe it was all personal relationships, and he didn't have to write anything down. That doesn't mean he didn't have a bunch of clients. And the other thing, the blackmail that he didn't blackmail anybody. Well, that I mean, if what I've been saying all along, you know, that it wasn't that he tricked people into having sex with the, or it tricked people, because no man can resist a 16-year-old girl, and so he and then they couldn't resist these 16-year-old girls, and then he secretly filmed them and jumped out. Ghislaine Maxwell maybe jumped out and said, "Aha, we got you! Oh my gosh, what can I do? Don't release that." It didn't work like that. The whole thing was it's kosher certification or influence peddling. It said, "Look, I can open a lot of doors for you. I can raise a lot of money for you. We just need an insurance policy." And if somebody goes into this willingly and then, you know, says, okay, you need some sort of compromising material on me. Well, okay, going into a room with a 16-year-old girl, it's a lot better than having to copulate with a pig's head like David Cameron reportedly had to do. So, or it's better than a drive-by shooting, which is an initiation that, you know, the Crips and Bloods do, or whatever. If they went into it willingly, and then they never stepped out of line, and so the compromat never had to be used, is that blackmail? I don't think that would meet a legal definition of blackmail. So it could be technically true. So that, like, basically, maybe not in all the details, but the grand scheme of things, that this is a giant Mossad operation to control our politicians. It could be 100% true, and yet technically he didn't blackmail anybody and didn't keep a client list. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I agree with that. And, you know, when we had Ryan Dawson on a few years ago on Patrick and Jeremy show, I think we covered that these people with power and money, they could get whatever they want without having to go through Epstein. It was a matter of going through him for the certification, for the to get power, to get, you know, more power. And they may or may not be inclined, you know, to date or to have relations with underage girls and boys. But, you know, what a lot of these people that make it into politics do tend to have this inclination. I'm trying to look up the scandal. What was it, in the 80s? when you had President Reagan and VP Bush the Elder, wasn't there a scandal with teen boys that were like White House interns or pages?
I think that was in the late 90s, and it revolved around Speaker Hassard, Dennis Hassard, okay. who was the Speaker of the House for a number of years. He wasn't like Dick Johnson, like out in people's faces all the time. Dick Johnson, by the way, now that the big gay bill has been passed and it passed with his efforts, he's starting to be referred to as Big Gay Dick.
I can see that.
Yeah.
It is kind of a big gay, and I don't mean happy.
Yeah.
It's a big homo bill. Yeah. No, I thought there was something in the 80s under Reagan, though.
I
just pulled up Politico, the plot to out Ronald Reagan on Politico. This is a couple of years ago.
Well, so Hassard had his own
Republicans.
Yeah, Hassard had his own personal thing going on, but there was like this, and I thought like he had a personal thing going on because he'd been a wrestling coach or something. Jim Jordan was a wrestling coach too, but Hassard I think was a wrestling coach, and he had some personal things going on. But then there also was this page thing, and a lot of these congressmen, they enter politics and they're not wealthy when they enter it. And they've got to maintain a household in their district, and then they've got to maintain a household in Washington, the D.C. area, which has become notoriously expensive over recent decades. And so it's not at all uncommon for these congresspeople to have roommates. In some cases, they might be roommating with each other. In some cases, they're roommating with other people in D.C., but because it's expensive to maintain a place, and there was some weird stuff going on with pagers. When we're talking about big gay dick, I don't want to say, did you get to the bottom of it? I don't know if big gay dick has gotten to the bottom of these pagers. I have the feeling he has, frankly.
It's probably the top.
Okay.
Congressman Bob Livingston.
Oh,
I just put up a political article on this whole thing of exposing, trying to out Ronald Reagan as a homo, and it's talking about Congressman Bob Livingston.
Who was going to be the speaker, right? He was going to be the speaker.
Yeah. Well, all right, so... it was 3:15 on the morning of June 26, 1980, and Congressman Bob Livingston was extraordinarily drunk, hiding in the congressional gym beneath the Rayburn House office building, petrified that a team of highly trained right-wing homosexual assassins working on behalf of Ronald Reagan was about to kill him. To the extent that the Louisiana Republican is remembered today, it's for the brief but sensational role he played in America's most infamous political sex scandal on the same day in December 1998 that Bill Clinton was impeached for lying about his affair with a White House intern. Livingston, then the House Speaker designate, shocked the nation with his own admission of adultery. All right, this is kind of a nothing burger. It's not where I thought it was going, but there was some sort of a scandal, in the 80s with teen boys that were working in the White House. And what was all that going on at the time of the Iran-Contra affair with Colonel, what's his name?
North. Lieutenant Colonel Oliver.
Oliver.
Yeah.
Oliver North, yeah. So
my brother, my brother met him once.
Maybe a distraction from that.
My brother met him.
Maybe a distraction from that. Met Oliver North?
Yeah, he met Oliver North and told him that he should get on major tranquilizers and just lie low for a while.
Well,
it's probably pretty good advice.
I don't want to keep following this path. I don't think it's going anywhere, but I think the overall point I wanted to make is that when these people, before they get into power, either they're blackmailed to do things that they normally wouldn't do, like in the case of Epstein, or they're flagged early, like they go through, like Harvard and Yale, their skull and bones, and there's some weird like homo stuff going on there in some of the initiation processes. And so they flag these people as having some sort of a weird hang up. Maybe they're into boys, maybe they're into girls, whatever. And then they're selected because they can be easily blackmailed. Maybe that's a good analysis of some of our alleged politicians.
By the way,
they were chosen because they had hang-ups. Yeah.
There was this New Jersey governor, I forgot what his name was, and he was outed not just as being, he was married to a woman, but he was outed not just for having a gay affair, but it was a gay affair with his Homeland Security advisor, who, this was like shortly after 9/11, Homeland Security advisor, who was an Israeli, who I'm pretty sure had been introduced to this guy by Jared Kushner's dad. He'd been set up, like the whole thing was weird. You can check it out. And the governor, I forgot what his name was, but he said, I have to acknowledge that I am a gay American, you know, a gay American. Why do you bring America into it? You're just, okay, whatever. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, some people will remember that. Alrighty.
Well, if you want to move on, Trump says he's sending more weapons to Ukraine.
Yeah, because they're getting hit really hard. They're getting hit really hard, and so we got defensive weapons. We're sending them defensive weapons because they're getting pounded. Well, but this is Biden. This is Biden's. This would have never happened if I had been president. This is Biden's war. But I got to send them weapons. Of course, I've been. He's saying that. What he's not saying is he had been sending them a bunch of weapons when he was president the first time before Biden. He was sending them a lot of weapons and bragging about having sent them offensive weapons, whereas Obama was only sending them blankets. And I sent them real weapons because I ran on a platform of making friends with Russia, but I got manipulated. And to prove that I wasn't Putin's puppet, I gave a bunch of weapons to them. And this is Biden's war. And none of this makes sense. And, you know, he's really making himself look ridiculous. But I don't know. We might get a couple of good things come out of the Trump administration. Maybe we'll get some laughs. I don't know. Maybe we'll get President AOC at the end of this and we'll be happy. I don't know. Maybe we'll own nothing and be happy. And President AOC, who knows?
Under this headline, a tweet is featured on X from Unfiltered Boss. Again, I don't know who that is. But he says, on the same day that the Trump administration closed the Epstein case, he says he's going to send more weapons to Ukraine. Suckers, LMFAO. Being a Magadonian is just a humiliation ritual at this point. A Magadonian. I've not heard that before. I think that's a person who is MAGA and in full support of Trump, a Magadonian.
Well, I've heard that. Caledonia, you'd be a Caledonian. What other Donians are there? Magadonian. But, yeah, okay.
Well, it is a humiliation ritual. Yeah, it's, you know, we were wondering what Trump's going to do with these 4 years and whether he's going to go all out and what side he's going to be on. But it looks like he's got nothing to lose, and so he's going to completely disenfranchise his base.
So
that's what it looks like.
Anglin wrote an article, or maybe it's just the preface to his Monday memes, but he's pointing out Alligator Alley, is that what they're calling it? No, Alligator Alcatraz, this black site in Florida that they're building supposedly to house illegal aliens, but asking, do we really want to have unaccountable secret prisons in this country, given the propensity to, well, who's it going to be used against, right? I mean, now maybe he's just talking about putting dog-eating Haitians there and deporting foreign students who oppose genocide for now. Maybe that we think that's funny, but ultimately, who are the real enemies of the system? And do we really want to have these?
Sometimes when your hopes have all been shattered, still with a turn. You wonder how you keep going. Think of all the things that really matter and the chances you earn.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Howdy, cousins. This is RBN host Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn, asking you to please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voices to spread truth and relevant information, to gain a deeper understanding of the adversary, and to gain knowledge for survival against the gradual erosion of the Republic. But in order to sustain this incredible communications network, RBN needs your financial contributions. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 1-800-724-2719, or mail your donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Foreign students who oppose genocide for now, maybe that we think that's funny, but ultimately who are the real enemies of the system? And do we really want to have these black op things here? And, you know, this is the same thing. Some people were celebrating the deportation of students, foreign students who would protest against Gaza, because this is going to create a precedent for deporting people. Well, we've deported people in the past. We don't need to have a precedent. It's legal. It's done under the law. Setting a precedent is deporting people for opposing Israeli actions or Jewish power. And, you know, now they're setting up this system for new people applying for student visas have to have their social media undergo AI screening. For what? For what? For anti-Semitism. That's what it's for. That's explicitly what it's for. That's what Marco Rubio announced it was for. Anti-Semitism. So
yeah, it's all over. It's patriotized all over again.
Yeah, it's
people cheered on because 9/11, and never forget the Twin Towers. Forget about Building 7, but let's never forget the Twin Towers. Don't pull up Building 7 on YouTube and question how it fell. I know you got your theory on that, but I'm just, you know,
recently
going with the overall point.
I spent more than 20 years with the exact same doubts, but now I don't even care. It's not how these buildings fell. It's what they were used for after they, I mean, the Patriot Act and the wars are really, really, really way more significant to us than, yeah, and, you know, the general loss of our liberty than the mechanism by which these buildings fell.
Again, did Epstein get killed, suicided, or transported to some magical island? Doesn't matter. That's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
The 9/11 thing is a distraction on how they fell. Was it nukes? Was it holograms? The holograms thing's a little ridiculous. But at any rate, what did they use it for? The Patriot Act. So everybody was cheering it on. Because let's just assume that, you know, the 9/11 story is, the narrative is, you know, right. Does that justify the Patriot Act? No, it absolutely does not. And how did they use the Patriot Act? Well, at first, you know, against terrorist Muslims in the U.S., sure. But then January 6th proved that they can use it against just regular patriotic American citizens, many of whom entered the Capitol and didn't do anything wrong other than violate COVID restrictions. And that's another thing. What about another COVID? Will these black prison sites be used to house people, you know, that don't go along with the current virus narrative?
Mm-hmm.
It could be used for a multitude of things.
They did that in Australia, by the way. Took people off to black sites, effectively.
Yeah, and then you look at, you know, the floods in Appalachia a few years ago. What was that, 23? 2 years ago, not even. They set up shelters for these families to live in, and then they closed the shelters. And guess what? If you didn't have a place to go after they closed the shelter, then CPS can take away your children because you don't have, you know, you're homeless, basically. It's just, the possibilities are endless, and yep, they're very scary.
Well, we'll have to talk about them on part two, but now we got to get this into the studio so that that people can go home.
So, thanks for joining me, Patrick, and for keeping it somewhat classy with a caveat. And tune in to Patrick and Jeremy, part two on the Bugle, noon Central Wednesday. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Whole, not fractionated, not standardized, not adulterated, but pure and nature-made for excellent digestion, absorption, utilization, and elimination. Colorado Shilajit is raw, whole, unadulterated, and alive. Pre-processed Shilajit, imported from Himalayas, Russia, China, Pakistan, are most often cooked, boiled, smoked, and if it's legit, definitely beneficial, but maybe not truly whole. Only raw Shilajit provides the perfect balance of humic and fulvic acids with a complete essential mineral spectrum that is required to effectively energize cells and remove toxic metals, forever chemicals, synthetic hormones, pesticides, herbicides, and more. Pure raw Shilajit. Legit Shilajit. Colorado Shilajit.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org. Watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle